It's time to begin class this evening at 7 o'clock. We are a few more questions on righteousness, so we're on page number three. We're going to do questions 14, 15, and then the last question. Before we do such, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. And Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father in heaven, we come before thee once again, thanking thee for this day that you've given us, and the wonderful opportunity that we have as thy children to assemble ourselves here on midweek. We're thankful, Father, for your word you have revealed to us, and the opportunity that we have this hour to study that we may learn more of your will. We ask thee, Father, to be with the teacher of the hour, that he may teach in such a way we can learn and apply to our lives. We pray, Father, for those who are sick and unable to be with us, that they can get well and return to us. We ask thee now, Father, to forgive us of those things we've done wrong. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to finish the last few questions on righteousness. It's good seeing everybody here the past few days. We've had a lot of people to pray for, so let's keep them in our prayers. Question number 14 on page number 3 is where we've left off from last week. And there the question is, righteousness leads to life. What passage did you have? Okay, Proverbs 11, 19. Steph, would you want to read that? Are you there? You want to read that for us, please? Okay, the same principle is true today, is it not? If we pursue righteousness, a righteous person is going to lead to life. And of course, we look at it from the standpoint of eternal life. When we look at this question, remember, let's go to a few other passages concerning this life. Let's go to Romans, New Testament, Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. And let's go ahead and have, Ken, are you there?
Yes.
You want to read that for me, please?
Yes. Romans 8, 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Okay, do you see how I'm tying that together with the Proverb 11, 19, spiritually minded, life and peace? And I've got one more passage I've got listed down here. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Robin, would you read this for us? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. Galatians 6 and verse 8. Okay, and of course, key thing here is sowing to what? Sowing to the Spirit. You know, you got the two choices, sowing to the flesh, sowing to the Spirit. But we're talking about life. So, and if we could go to a number of Old Testament illustrations. Those who followed the Lord, were they blessed? Those who didn't follow the Lord, it looked like they got away with it for a while, but were they punished? Yeah, so again. And the same is true today. Now, the thing is, when we talk about this passage before we move on 14, okay, righteousness leads to life. It brings us to 15. We need to kind of define and understand that righteousness. So let's go to the last question before we do that bottom one. What exalts a nation? What passage?
14:34.
Okay, Angela, you want to read that passage for us, please? Proverbs 14 and verse 34. Okay, so that was the answer to question number 15. One of my, I guess you'd call it a pet peeve, when I see this word righteousness, I feel compelled that when you study with somebody about it, you're going to have to explain righteousness. Because do most people feel they're righteous? Yeah. In fact, before I was a Christian, I felt I was righteous. But when we're talking about righteousness here, whose righteousness are we speaking of? God's righteousness. So again, you've heard this many times. You probably could quote it yourself. But when we talk about the righteousness exalts a nation. We're talking about God's righteousness exalts a nation. Let's go to Romans 1, 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17. Clay, would you read that one for us? And you see, you need to take both passages together, correct? Because in the beginning of verse 17, for in it, that goes back to 16, right? The gospel. So in it is what? God's righteousness. So when it talks about righteousness exalts a nation, remember the Pharisees thought they were righteous, but they were after man's, you know, they were after their traditions. We have to follow God's righteousness. Let's go to a few more passages and then I'll open it up. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 16 and 17. Tammy, would you read that for us, please? 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Okay. So now where is God's righteousness? In the Scriptures, correct? So we've tied together Romans 1, 16 and 17, and we've tied together 2 Timothy. Now, one exception showing the opposite, I'm going to go to, let's go to Romans 10, 1 through 3. And Bob, would you mind reading that for us?
Supplication to God is for them, that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God.
And of course, we can see the contrast here. Their righteousness, God's righteousness. God's righteousness is where? In the gospel for us, correct? So again, when we look at this, when you talk to somebody about righteousness, try to explain to them the righteousness that's being spoken of. You know, sometimes we can use the same word with different meanings, and it's up to us to make sure we clarify the meaning. Now, one illustration on that, then we'll open it up for you to discuss. 25 years ago, when I mentioned the family, I never felt compelled 25 years ago emphasizing man and woman. Now, 2024, that's imperative you compel that, because the word family is still used, the same word we use is family, but now they've expanded the borders of what family is. So we want to look at family from God's perspective. Now, it's okay, just like we want to look at righteousness from God's perspective. Now, as I look at that question 15, I put out this. I asked the question about the righteousness. Why is that so important? Okay, first, God commanded it. That's important. Well, okay, have we seen changes in this nation? Would you agree with me? We're not getting into politics. We're not getting into different things. But would you say those of us that are older in years,
look at me.
No, don't look. that righteousness was more obvious back in the 50s and 60s?
Yes.
And I look back before all of our time, the creation of this nation, was righteousness manifested then? You know, I didn't realize that, but in our monies, you know, the bills we have, in God we trust. I researched that one time. I hope my memory still serves me. I guess that came into being in 1954. It was am I right?
Eisenhower.
Oh, so I guess, okay. So, think if that was to come to Congress today, you think that would be there?
No.
Now, I'm glad it's there. I just wish it were true.
Yeah.
if it were true. And perhaps it may be. Perhaps God will bless this nation and enough people turn our things around. We are blessed because of God. And we're blessed because of God. In my opinion, I can't share book, chapter, and verse. My opinion, we've had enough righteous people in this country for God to bless it. I don't know what the number is. God has not revealed that to me. All I know is I need to be among that number so that hopefully we can be blessed. Now, here's the sad thing. We can be among that number, and God could still pronounce a curse on this nation. And that doesn't mean God's upset with us. It just means for that we have fulfilled the transgression, and now a punishment is coming. And like I say, we as Americans are so arrogant to think, well, if this nation falls, then that's the end of the world. It may or may not be, but it might not be the end of the world. You know, it just, you know, we think about powerful nations. As I'm studying Revelation in Rome, was the Roman Empire more powerful than the United States back in the first century?
They were the superpower.
They were a superpower. And so, and, huh? Yeah. Where are they now?
Gone,
right? And don't believe the premillennialists that it's, well, they're going to come back in the European common market. That's a whole silliness that they go to. But all I'm saying is I'm thankful I live in America. I am thankful I'm an American. But most of all, I'm thankful for people such as you and myself and others who are trying to live that righteous life, because I believe that's what blesses this country. So that's my opinion. Let's go to anybody on those two questions before we go to the last question. All right. So if you looked on your worksheets, you had the righteousness, and right at the bottom, and I'm not going to question you if you don't want to speak, but I said, as you consider the 15 Proverbs used in this section, which Proverbs would you choose as your top three and why? Somebody want to give me an answer to that? Why?
Well, it says, blessed is your memory. So, yes, as we get older, I'm hoping that memory stays intact, especially if you're preparing to teach a class or something else.
And I also hope others have a good memory of me when I am no longer.
Right.
Okay, that's a good one. Anybody else?
Well, I've got.
Okay. And what does that say? Okay, and we've talked about that, and it is a glory. When someone who's older in years, whether you have gray hair or no hair, if you're found in the way of righteousness, it's a glory. Trouble is, we've seen some older people who have that it is not a glory because they try to be something they're not. Anything is amazing to me is when someone who's near my age think they're a 30-year-old. You're not a 30. You can't hang with the 30-year-olds. You're not a 30-year-old. You don't need the vocabulary of a 30-year-old, and you don't need to dress like a 30-year-old if you're 70 years old. It just doesn't make sense. But we have some people like that. I guess they kind of want to deceive themselves. Anybody else on this? What did you put before we move on? Yes, yes, go ahead, Paula.
21.
And what does that one say? There you go. But the key...
Motto for a living.
Good point. That would be a good point. Motto for a living. Yes, Daryl. Good point. This is why we have Bible classes. I never thought of that. That's true. As you're at different ages, you're going to probably pick a different verse. If God gives me 5 more years, possibly 5 more years from now, my position would be different as what would be my favorites. Anybody else before we go on? If I missed a hand, just speak up. All right, let's go to the next page. And the next page is talking about self-control. This is an interesting topic, self-control. Because when we think of self-control, most people will think of restricting themselves in eating habits. And that's a form of self-control, is it not? But are there other areas of self-control?
Yes.
Self-control of our tongue, self-control of our time, self-control of our expenses. I mean, let's face it, let's look at the expenses real quickly. And not for you per se, most of us are older, but I really get concerned about younger people if they have not been taught. Because if they have not been taught on expenses, can they get themselves in a bind very quickly? And again, I have two credit cards in my pocket, so I'm not saying it's a sin to have a credit card. I try not to use them that much. But let's face it, our society has you get this, get that, get this. You don't have to. I had a laugh the last car commercial I saw today, I think it was, or yesterday. You don't have to make payments till next year. Okay, we're in December. So that's about 30 days away. But you have these other things that you don't have to pay for a year. And, you know, you can get this and get that. And I think a lot of our younger people get caught up. I don't think they purposely get caught up in that, but they want the gratification right now. You may have had parents, or maybe it's you. You wouldn't buy anything until you had the money to pay for it. I worked with a congregation, Spring Warrior, a good group. We were in a little tiny white building. And they saved, because the elders there at that time believed they wanted no debt on the new building. Now, brethren wanted to create the building a lot quicker. They refused. They held their ground. And so it was probably 3 or 4 years more than what, you know, people wanted, but they didn't want debt. They got to the point, I don't know if that was during during depression or what, but they wanted no debt on the building. They wanted to build that new building totally clear. And then they found out it wasn't big enough, so they took out a loan to build it. No, that's true, an addition. But I'm not saying loans are wrong. I'm just saying I get worried about our younger people. First of all, it takes a bucket full of money to live, number one. Number two, and I'm not saying all young people are like this. In their mind, they want to have what their family had, but they fail to understand what their family had probably took years to get that. And now they've got the challenge. Here's the lack of self-control. They've got the challenge. Hey, you don't have to wait. You can get it right now. And that's all fine and well if you get the income keeping coming in the way you had it. But those of us that are older, what do we know about income? It fluctuates. It might be one way today. It might be a totally different way. So again, that's another area of self-control. Of course, self-control with our tongue. Basically, self-control covers many issues. So let's look at these Proverbs. I only used 10 of them for this one. The first one I really like. I think this one, my opinion, is God has a sense of humor. I think he has a sense of humor. So what did you have for even a fool is considered wise when he does this?
1728.
1728. All right. Tabitha, you want to read that for me? Proverbs 1728. And I like, okay, so I like the English Standard Version. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. But I put a little side note for my information. This image on being counted wise only lasts until he speaks. Because when he speaks, his lack of wisdom comes out then, does it not? So again, I believe there's a lesson there. I don't believe God's trying to do a joke per se, But I think it is something that is somewhat humorous because it's true. You know, you ever sit in a topic you know nothing about? Then it's best to do what?
Be quiet.
Be quiet. We have some good brethren who teach some great lessons on why we don't believe in the theory of evolution. They're way over my head. You know, they start talking about this and they put up this chart and that. I feel like I'm in algebra or trigonometry by the time they get done. So when there's a question and answer period, and sometimes there's question and answer period, I don't raise my hand at all. Maybe I'm considered wise because I don't really what I'm thinking. I didn't understand anything tonight. So anybody else on that verse? I like that verse. All right, number two, as we look at number two. What is honorable for a person to do? Okay, stop striving, right? And let's go, what passage did you have for that? Diana, you want to read that for me, please?
Sure. It is honorable for a man to stop striving.
Do you know of people who kind of egg things on? Mm-hmm. How does that usually work? Not good, does it? I don't know why people would do that. Now, can we have legitimate differences? That's different than egging things on. I told you of my good friend. I call him a good friend. He was a friend, a brother in Christ, in a different place in Florida. And when he would visit where I preached, he'd make the Bible class a shambles. And it would drive me nuts. You know, and I knew his positions, and I knew he was taking exact opposite positions than what he believed. Have you ever known of somebody like that? Mm-hmm. And I'd ask him. I said, what are you doing? And this is after class. I just want to put a little spark in the class. Now, we don't need spark in the class. Now, if there's legitimate differences, that's one thing. That's what Bible classes are for. You and I could have a legitimate difference. But just to egg things on, now let's go from the Bible class when we look at number two about striving or starting a quarrel. Husbands and wives, got to be careful. If I'm having a bad day, what's normal for me want to do for my wife? She needs to be having a bad day just like me. Right? No, no. And she's right. No, it's hard. I used to know what buttons to press. She's changed her buttons. But let's face it, we know people's buttons, don't we? And we got to be careful not to do that. Because like it says in that second one, any fool can start a quarrel. And don't understand. I want us to understand, we're not just talking about differences, legitimate differences. We're talking about quarrels. There's a difference there. There's some people who just like to have it uneasy. They like it to be festered. I don't like that. And it's not good for the church. Does that make sense to everybody? Daryl? Yeah, there comes a time to stop and move forward. Absolutely. I'll give you an illustration where legitimate differences. The very first congregation I worked full-time with was mixed with half believing the head covering and half not believing the head covering. I'm talking about the artificial head covering. Both positions have a position. It's not by opinion. Those who believe you should wear the artificial head covering, the catecholupta, they feel firmly about that. Those of us who don't hold that position, I feel very firmly about my position. Okay, now you say, well, how can you worship together? Because that's an individual thing. We can sit down and discuss it, but it's not going to affect us collectively because we can still worship. So if there was someone of that position here, I'm not going to tell the sister to take it off, the artificial covering. But like Daryl said, we had so many discussions on that it did come to a time we stopped discussing it publicly because neither side was going to convince either side to all go one way. And so there are times we can have legitimate differences, but you know what? We don't have to start striving with one another. The man I studied under who taught me so much, Albert Wanis, he took the other position. We used to study at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, in his mind, after 6 months, he thought he'd have me convinced. And he didn't. And we had, you talk about, but this was not in a collective assembly. We had some heated discussions privately, him and I, at his coffee table. We still love each other. We still respected each other. We still uplifted each other because we understood there are times we have differences on very serious matters. It's, you know, for those who believe in it, it's very serious for them to wear it. There's no doubt about it. I'm very serious that I don't want to have women being forced to wear it because somebody else believes it. If they believe it personally, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But that's just one illustration, and I'm glad Daryl brought it up. Even on legitimate times, sometimes you got to just say, okay, let's stop. After 6 months, him and I kept those conversations privately. We never took them publicly. When he spoke something on that, I just sat back. When I spoke something, he just sat back. And then we'd get back that Monday morning, we'd lock horns. Anybody else? All right, let's go to the next question. As we look at question number 3, who has great understanding? What? Okay, are you that? Are you at the passage? That would be one slow to wrath, Proverbs 14:29.
Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. He who has a hasty temper exalts folly.
And when I read this one, what came to my mind, and probably would come to yours too, is James chapter 1. Let's go to James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. James chapter 1, 19 and 20. Vera, when we all get there, would you read that for us, please? James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And I'm going to trust you because I didn't open up my Bible. So.
Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Okay, swift to hear. You know what I read somewhere, and I don't know how true it is. Statistics are, this one statistic I read is that people coming up aren't good hearers. They kind of hear what they want to hear. I don't know how you draw that conclusion, but that was a statistic I read. Well, if you're not good to hear, guess what? You're ready to speak up not knowing what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Right? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to... And of course, man's wrath is not similar as God's wrath. Now, I believe there are times we can have and be angered and have wrath. I believe I can be angered and have wrath against innocent babies pre-born being aborted. But I have to be careful that I don't go to the category of sin in that situation. What I mean by that, I shouldn't go and kill somebody because they're killing innocent babies, in my conviction. I shouldn't go and blow up the abortion clinic because, in my mind, they're killing innocent babies. I should try to teach whoever I come into contact with why that shouldn't be your choice. And so, again, we're not going to go on that detail, but I'm just saying. So I don't want to think as Christians we don't have feelings about anything. We do have feelings. But I've got to make sure as I look that I've got to be slow to wrath And I can't be impulsive. Who's in, when you think of impulsive, what age group? Well, teenagers, yeah. I go even before that. Little kids, 2, 3, 4 years old. I've got a little poem, I can't quote it, but it's about a 2-year-old. If it looks like mine, it's mine. And if I think it's mine, it's mine. And if you have it and I want it, it's mine. The trouble is, there's some adults like that, aren't there? And that's going to be a problem, isn't it? So it's a shame. So because you expect a 2-year-old, that's where parents come in and they try to teach the children. Quick illustration of that. Many years ago, I can actually remember this. I'm surprised. When I was 5 years old, we had a little candy store. And most of you don't even know about this. Little candy store and soda jerk fountain down at the end of the block. Some of you might remember that. But even at five, it was so close to us, I was allowed to walk to the candy store. And I had a good friend next door who was three and a half, maybe four, maybe a year younger than me. Well, his mom, I guess, to get us out of her hair, she was going to give us some money to go to the candy store. And she gave me a nickel, and she gave him a dime. And he pitched such a fit because the nickel looked bigger than the dime.
Right.
So he switched with me, and then when we got to the candy store, he pitched another fit because he saw how much I got. He was impulsive. And again, it wasn't because I was so smart. It was just I was a little bit older than him, and I realized size didn't make how much it was worth because I had gone to the candy store many, many times. So it was just interesting. People are impulsive. You know, when I think of being impulsive, road rage. Could we say that's impulsive? Can I ask you a question? Is it just Florida or is it me? When I get in on Hardin Boulevard, and Hardin's getting busier and busier, and I see headlights way down behind me that I've got plenty of time to get in. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm an old cranky man. And within a minute, that car that was way back is all of a sudden on my bumper. Why? Why? Is this a game we play in Florida? How close can I get to the bumper? Do you have an answer to that, Bob? You were in a... And I'm not saying Bob does that. I'm just saying...
No, I was on the receiving end when you were doing an emergency and they slam on your brakes in front of an ambulance.
Okay.
Yes, but,
Oh, that's another thing. When people don't get out of the way of emergency vehicles. Makes no sense to me. But we have people that are, happened to me in Chicago one time. I was driving too slow for this guy, and I said something, nothing profane, but something to myself, and he saw me move my lips. So he got up alongside of me. He was about 20 years younger than me, probably would have beat me to death. And he rolled down his window, and I'm stupid. I rolled down my window. What do you say? And I just put my ego aside and said, oh, nothing. Everything's fine. But that could have been a situation where my ego, his ego, combined in egos. And that would have been stupid. Number one, he was too much younger than me. But even if he was equal to my age, that's not something you should do. Right? But we have a lot of that. Okay. Read that for us. That's right. All right. Let's go to question number 4, unless somebody has something on that one. I hope these help you. I like to look at the principles on all these. And on number 4, how is one described who has no rule over his spirit? What proverb did you have? 25 and verse 28. Noel, are you there? You want to read that for me? Proverbs 25 and verse 28.
He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls.
Explain that to me. And not Noel, anybody. Explain that to me.
Well, go ahead.
It's just all out there.
Okay.
Yeah, and during that time, you were protected, which you had to live within a walled city. So you have no protection.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Good points. I hope you heard them. Had no protection. If you have no walls, you have no protection. You just go. But the idea is, if you don't have rule over your own spirit, guess what? You're always making excuses. That's where I couldn't help myself. Well, you got to be careful there. You know what I really love now as I've gotten older? I'm using Daryl's situation for food now. I've changed from Hershey Kisses to M&M's. Oh, I love M&M's.
They're smaller.
Yeah, they're smaller. And every time I go into Sam's in the front, I know exactly where they're at. They have a big section of M&M's. And sometimes I try to deceive myself thinking, well, I'm going to get that. And only eat just what they say. You know, they say how many you should eat. You should eat 12 M&M's. Oh, come on. Who eats 12 M&M's? Nobody does.
Chuck,
yes?
You need one. And I'm driving my wife crazy. I eat one. Just one. Just one M&M.
Thank you. Well, you're not going with me. My best way, because I have no rule over my spirit if I had them in my house, is not to get them. Because I know if I get them, here's what I'm going to do. I know myself. The first day I'm going to do good. Maybe the third day I'm going to do good. But then if I'm really interested in a football game and I overdid it, why not just go hog wild and just eat them all? That wouldn't be, and I'm not proud of that, but do any of you know of some things that you have to watch out for and to rule your own spirit? You need to either keep it away. I think sometimes our young people need to be careful with that on their video games. I don't know how to play a video game. I don't know how addictive video games are. But if they're not being able to be self-controlled, could it control their brain? So we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful and be honest with ourselves as to what we have problems with. And if we have problems with that, to rule your spirit, don't put yourself with that problem. You don't put yourself how close you can get to something that to let you keep yourself as far away from it. Now, we've got to be careful. And it's not just to eat, and it's a whole host of things. But the thing is, if I don't have control, I have no rule over my spirit. All right. Anybody else want to talk on that one? Daryl, go ahead. Okay, good point.
Same thing as if I conduct myself in such a way and then I go and try to tell people, they, you know, that the way you're living is wrong, what's the first thing out of their mouth?
Yeah, they'll point something down. And what Daryl says is right, but I'm not justifying. But when we fail, because there's times we do fail, we try to do better. And when somebody brings something up, because maybe they've seen you in a time of failure, explain, you know what, I was wrong, I'm working on that. Because if that was the case, all of us have different dispositions. One of my problems is I have a loud voice. And when I get excited, my voice gets louder. And people take that for anger. And it's not anger oftentimes, it's just who I am. Like Daryl said, I have to tell people that if they don't know me, not to get scared that, hey, this guy hates me, you know. All right, circle number 5.